When we're talking about the holiday of Pesach, particularly the night of the Seder, there are many themes that come up as the predominant themes of the night. We've spoken about in the past, the Sfarim speak about, that the night of Pesach is the night of Yesod HaEmunah. It's the night that's a fundamental aspect of faith. It's the night where you have the feeling that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Mashgiach. He is the one who watches over us. He is the one who takes care of us. He is the Kol Yachol. He is the all-encompassing being. And indeed, that is the theme of the night. We end with V'ata HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Chag Gadya. We end with this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'chvodo Ba'atzmo comes. Having said this, there are other themes that are connected to this major theme that perhaps take more of a background place, but in like a tapestry where there are certain colors that are predominant, when we take a look and we follow the threads of some of the background colors, we will notice that although they may not be standing out to the same extent, they too are found throughout the entire tapestry, and they lend a dimension that would not be found had that color not been there. And this dimension is what I'd like to speak about on the night of Seder, of what the theme of Pesach and Yetziat Mitzrayim is about, is the theme of the potency of prayer, the Koach HaTefillah. And this is found in a very beautiful new Sefer of the Matnat Chaim, Amamarei Hachana Lelel HaSeder, where he speaks about that the Ramban notes that one of the Ikarim, one of the major principles, that famous Ramban at the end of Sefer Parshat Bo, is Ha'amunah Shabarei Yitzbarach Shmo Lo Lubado Ra'ui Litpalel Ve'en Luzulato Ra'ui Litpalel. One of the upshots of the Exodus story is the idea that to only to Hashem we can daven, Hashem listens to our tefillah, and it's through tefillah that Klal Yisrael, or Zochem, were worthy of redemption. And it's interesting that when we take a look at the main section of the Haggadah, the section that unfortunately we fly through because we don't understand its importance, is the Arami Ovid Avi, the number of psukim that we quote from the farmer who brings his bikurim, his first fruits, to the Beis HaMikdash, and he makes a statement about how our forefathers went down to Egypt and they were enslaved there and how they got out. And we take phrase by phrase and we support the idea of this, what the farmer is saying from psukim in Sefer Shemot. One of the psukim that the farmer says is in 2a. V'nitzak, we cried out to Hashem, the God of our fathers, and Hashem heard our voice and saw our affliction, our burden, our oppression. One of the few psukim that we mentioned from the farmer is this pasuk of the Koach HaTefillah, that we were taken out, we were redeemed because of the tefillah. We cried out to Hashem, the God of our fathers, and we bring a supportive pasuk in 2b. As it says, it happened in the course of those many days that the king of Egypt died and the children of Israel groaned because of the servitude and cried. The cry because of their servitude rose up to Hashem. And indeed, as the Ramban notes in Source 3, that when 210 years of slavery had passed and time of redemption had arrived, Klal Yisrael was no longer worthy of redemption. Nevertheless, because of their excessive crying, Hashem accepted their prayers and took them out of Egypt. In other words, the power of tefillah superseded their lowly status and precipitated the process of the redemption, the process of Geula. This is the theme that I'd like to, Mirtz Hashem, speak about. Where do we see the idea of tefillah, the idea of prayer, as a major motif in the Exodus story? And then in Mirtz Hashem we will end with, where do we see the motif of prayer practically in our lives on the night of Seder? So we find it, as we just saw, in the Haggadah itself, and we'll examine these psukim a little bit more at length. And that will be the first part of the shiur, to look at this thread of tefillah throughout the story. And then at the end, we'll focus in on how does prayer relate to us in our individual service on the night of Seder. So, our question, which is our overarching question for today, is where is this theme of tefillah found? Where is this thread? Where do we find this color thread? And we will see it quite a number of places. Place number one is this idea that the Jewish people were redeemed in the koach of tefillah. Let's develop this idea at length because this will be our major idea for today. The Samderech, Rav Broida notes in source 4, we have a pasuk in Parashat Chukat that says, when we're speaking to Melech Adom about our history, we speak about how Moshe Rabbeinu says we sat in Egypt for many days, and the Egyptians did harm to us, and we cried out to Hashem, he heard our voice, and he sent a malach to take us out of Egypt. Rashi notes on Vayishma Kolenu, what does it mean he heard our voice? It's the bracha that we have from Yaakov Avinu of Akol Kol Yaakov. The voice of a Jew continues the Samderech, is different than the voice of all others who cry out. All others who cry out, it is the idea that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Karov Hashem, L'chol Karov, L'chol Asher Yikru Be'emes. You have to call out in truth. You have to call out with a real sense of conviction, and then God will respond. By a Jew, just the calling out is sufficient that God will respond. The Kol Kol Yaakov, the voice of Yaakov, he compares it to like a little child who cries out even if he doesn't need anything in particular. He just wants that attention, he just wants that connection. And the mother comes running, particularly he uses the model of a mother of an only child who's there at the every whim of the child. Kivyachol, that's how Hashem responds to the cry of every Jew. We just cry out. It's a call. It's a voice. It's a voice that doesn't even have words. It's just a call. We cry out. We moan. We groan. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu immediately responds. And this is the koach. This is the power of the Jew's tefillah. And to this, the Samderech notes in source number 6, is the way the Ramban explains that at the snap, when Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, I'm going to tell them that God came to me and said, I'm going to redeem you. And the people are going to say to me, Mashmo, what's your name? What shall I respond to them? To which Hashem will respond, I will be with you as I will be with you. I'm with you now, I'll be with you in the future. Says the Ramban, how is that a response to what's God's name? So we know a name is the essence. And God is saying, you want to know what my essence is? You want to know what you should teach the people of what my essence as a God is? My essence is somebody. My essence, my name, who I am, is somebody who watches over you. And he says, you don't have to give them any other proof. They want to know who I am. I'll tell you how they'll know who I am. Cry out to me and I will respond. That is the greatest proof that I exist. If the night of the Seder is the night of the Rosh Hashanah L'Amunah, as the Siva Shalom says, as the head of the year of Amunah of faith, what is the concretization of this faith? It's the idea of calling out to Hashem and knowing that He's listening, knowing that there is somebody who cares about us. And this is Hora'ash Shleimah L'Mitzvot V'Hashkacha. This is the greatest reflection, the greatest proof of Hashem's presence. It's the koach ha-tefillah, the power of our tefillah. And that's why, even though we were in the Memtet Sharei Tuma, and we weren't worthy of being redeemed, our koach ha-tefillah, our power to daven, that was enough to be able for Hashem to redeem us from Egypt. And this is the message of Leil HaSeder. The koach ha-tefillah is an indication, probably the greatest indication, of Hashkachos Hashem, of the Divine Providence. But you know, the koach ha-tefillah goes even further. Very interesting insight that the Maaseh Rokeim, as well as other, brings down in source number 8, where he says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Avram Avinu that we are going to be Kiger Yezarcha Be'eretz Olahem, that we're going to be a stranger in a foreign land, and we will be enslaved there, Arba Mot Shana, for 400 years. From when does the 400 years begin? From when does the 400 years end? It's very cryptic. We don't know. Is it from the perspective of Sarim? Is it from the time of Yitzhak being born? Is it the time they actually went down to Egypt? It's very, very cryptic. It doesn't mention in the Chumash. So he says, you know what the answer is? Ha'lamanu shezev zeh garein begulatam sheyisrael. That indeed, what was the time that was the marker that now is the time of redemption, now the 400 years is up. So he says, Umatayim kalu arba'ama shana, if the 400 years are up, then you don't need tefillah, they're up. And if they're not up, so then they're not up. So he says, no, achein tefillah tzmichel lakol. Yes, Hashem said there's going to be 400 years, but he doesn't say when the 400 years are. So the moment that Klal Yisrael daven to Hashem, that's the moment when the gula starts. And had they davened to Hashem beforehand, so Taka the gula would have been counted the 400 years from Bris Hamsuri. What Masechta Kama is saying is very powerful, is that yes, there is a clock, but the clock is very much dependent on Klal Yisrael's tefillah. As soon as Klal Yisrael started davening, that is when Hashem said, okay, we will now figure out the 400 years from the time that they davened. And that is showing us how the koach of tefillah is what redeemed the people when they were redeemed. And we have to realize the intensity of this. And it's only when they started davening that Hashem says, okay, now the redemption is going to have to be in effect. And we know, and this Rosh Chodesh points out in Haggadah in 10, we know that once Klal Yisrael started davening, things got worse, not better. And that's because Hashem had to hurry up the time where there was a certain amount of suffering that they had to go through. But now, instead of having it over a long span of time, they've now moved up the geula because they've started davening. So that amount of suffering now has to be in a shorter amount of time. So the suffering got worse and not better. And he says, what a lesson for us. And sometimes we start davening, and instead of things getting better, they get worse. How could this be? I'm davening. No. That's a good sign, or it could be a good sign, right? We don't know, but in this case, it was a good sign. That there's an X amount that one has to go through, and if it's going to get intensified, it means that Hashem has heard our tefillah. The redemption is on its way. It just has to finish the amount of suffering or the amount of challenges that was prescribed for this situation. And that, my friends, is really what the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim is about. It's about the Koach HaTefillah, how Klal Yisrael's davening is what precipitated the Geula. It's what hurried it along to allow the 400 years to be calculated from when it was calculated, not from the time they went down to Egypt, but from way before that, in order from Leidas Yitzchak, in order for us to realize that the Koach HaTefillah, and he says this very specifically, the Medrash at the end of 9, well, so in the future we'll only be redeemed through tefillah. As somebody mentioned to me this week, could you imagine we had all these Atzeres tefillah, all these people gathering together. Could you imagine if we were having a Atzeres tefillah all over the world for Mashiach to come, for every Jew to take off one day, and everyone to gather together and say, we want Mashiach. Could you imagine what the result would be? This is the koach that we don't appreciate the power of tefillah. Now, when we look very carefully at the tefillah of Klal Yisrael, we'll notice something very interesting. We notice that the words that are used in the psukim, which the Haggadah quotes, are words which describe crying out, sighing, groaning, but not words. Vayisaku 13, Vatal Shavatam Elokim, Vayishma Elokim Enakatam. These are all words for crying out. And here Rav Pinkus in his Haggadah Tiferet Shimshon notes that this is teaching us something very powerful about what tefillah is about. You know, sometimes we think that we have to, you know, be able to articulate and have it in order and very organized what we're davening for. And we see that's not the case at all. Yes, there is this aspect of set tefillos, no doubt about it. But when a person's in pain, just the calling out has a power to it. And he says, and I found this very, very powerful, It says Vayizaku and then Vata'al Shavatam El Elohim. They cried out. And their Shava, their cry, went to God. Two different words. And the Zohar Kadosh points out that there's a difference between Shava and Za'aka. Shava is a tefillah through Dibur. And Za'aka is just a cry out without words. And the Zohar says that a Shava may come back empty. You're going to have a harder time for the words to get to heaven. But a Za'aka goes straight to heaven. Why? So he says, this is absolutely Gevaldik in 13 in the bracket. Aval Za'aka inatricha lolot lamalaklal. A Shava batal shavatam elokim has to go up the ranks. A Za'aka doesn't. Why not? Because Imo Anochi Bitsara, because Hashem is with us in our trials and tribulation. And during a challenge, Hashem is with us. Kivyacho Belibo Shala Adam. Where is Hashem? He's not up in Shamayim. When we're going through a difficult time and we just groan and help, that is because Hashem is so close to us. Belibo Shala Adam Vein Sarash Tfilotota Lelamala. You don't need your tefillah to go up to heaven. Why? Because your tefillah is right here. Hashem is right here. It's right here in your heart. You don't have to look for closeness to Hashem in a distant place. It's found right here with you. All we have to do is access this closeness to Hashem and be able just to turn to Him, and He responds. That Kol Kol Yaakov that we saw before, that voice of Yaakov. And it's interesting, on Vayishma Elokim and Nakatam, her Pinkus points out, what does it mean Hashem heard our cry? It doesn't say, and we cried out. In this pasuk, it says Hashem heard our cry. What's the difference? He says, the normal human psyche is that when a person's in pain, they cry out. When a person's in a difficult situation, they cry out, right? You know, you put a person on a ladder, and as they're climbing the ladder, and the ladder starts to wobble, what do they scream? Help! Who are they crying to? There could be no one in the room, right? It doesn't matter. They're crying out, help. They're crying out ultimately to the Ribbono Shel Olam. They're crying out to the person who can ultimately help them. And says Rav Pinkus, that's the idea of Vayishma Elokim and Nakatam. Even if they didn't cry directly to Hashem, their cry was something heard by Hashem. And our challenge, as he says, Lachain Ba'eit, the arrow, at the end of 14, Asher Adam B'Tzar V'Yotzimi Menu Ba'al Korcho Anachot B'Nako. When we automatically be crying out and sobbing and over any challenge that we have, Alav Lachavein V'Lakdisha Kor Elu, Shevein Kach Yotzo. Let us move these tefillos, let's direct these tefillos, which already are coming out, to Hashem, that He should be the one to take us out of these situations. Sharei be'emet ube'ovek, u'mitziyotam higaguim b'kisufim, b'kashot Yeshua HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because ultimately, that's exactly what they are. They're ultimately a cry only for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take us out. And that's why I say to my own kids, you know, when you're cutting an onion or peeling an onion, and, you know, tears come to your eyes, think about a situation, a painful situation that needs Yeshua Hashem. If you're already going to cry, don't waste the tears of an onion on the onion. Like, you know, im kfar as kfar. You know, use them well. If we're going to cry, allow us to direct our cries to Hashem. So, my friends, what we have seen so far, which will now Mirz Hashem Bilba, is the first theme of Tzilah, and you see at Mitzrayim, is this was a schut that they were redeemed. This is why they were redeemed when they were redeemed, that we weren't in Golus longer. And yes, it precipitated an intensity of the Avodah, but that ultimately was for our good. And even if their cry wasn't an articulated prayer, but it was directed toward Hashem, and it was coming mi'omek libam from the depths of their heart, this is something Hashem listens to. Hashem is so close to our tefillos, and we, for our own lives, need to know that, you know, so often we go to doctors, we go to financial analysts, we go to psychologists, we go, and we forget that the place of redemption, both on the national and the individual level, doesn't mean not to go to these places, but we often forget the most important recourse that we have, and that's Ribbono Shel Olam, and that's tefillah, and to turn our pain over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If this is so, my friends, so now we have a very important question to ask. if the Koach HaTfila was so great, and the Koach HaTfila, the power of prayer, enabled the Yeshua to happen sooner, and this was the key to unlock the redemption, so why didn't they daven earlier? What was it that they now daven now? And they didn't daven, you know, as soon as they got down to Egypt, or as soon as the Shibud started, as soon as, you know, the Avodah Perach happened, boom, start davening. What was it that prevented the people from davening beforehand? And what happened now that they only daven now? I'd like to take a look at this on a number of levels. The first, which is a very interesting idea, which deserves its own time and formulation, is an idea from Reb Sado Kakohen in Tzidkos HaTzadik. It's worked out in Source 15. He says, Vayenachu b'nei so min avodah, they cried out from the hard work. Kachi midoso yisparach. This is the midah, the way of Hashem. Be'et sherotzeh eloshia, when Hashem wants to save, when the time has come, the eight dodim, the time has come for salvation, as notein belev oto adam litzoklo, Hashem inspires the person to daven. And that's why the Gemara Brachos says, if you find that your tefillah shkura b'fi, it just comes out so naturally, and you just feel motivated to daven, you know your tefillah has been accepted. Why? Because you know that it's almost like inspiration from above. So this answers our question. Why now? Because now Hashem wanted them to be redeemed. Now the time had come for whatever various reason. So he inspires them to daven now. And it's an interesting idea for our own lives. If we suddenly feel an overwhelming desire just to daven and to call out, ask ourselves, is this not a siyata d'shmaya? Is this not an inspiration from above that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is leading us toward the Yeshua? The second aspect, if that's the first reason, why not until now? Because Hashem only inspired us now. The second answer, why didn't they daven, is a very famous idea that's brought down in the mystical writings. This is from the Maor Vashemesh in 16, that we know that in Egypt the Dibur was in Galus, that speech was in exile. And they couldn't speak properly. That's why when they're calling out, the Zohar describes it as a voice without words. And Moshe Rabbeinu brought the words, right? There's Nakatam, Zakatam, Shavatam. They're screaming, but they're not davening. They're not saying anything. Because the Dibur was in Galus. And that's why Paro has the same letters as Pe-Ra. His whole idea was to bring the negativity of speech, the Sitra Achra, to silence the voice of goodness. Ech Yishma'eni Paro. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I am a kvad pen v'kvad lashon, I can't speak. The whole idea that speech was in Golos. And this Rabbi Tad speaks about at length, where he speaks about how the neck is the connection between the head and the rest of the body, which is the higher and lower domains. The front of the neck is the positive aspect, it's where the voice cords come from, it's communication, it's relationship, and the back of the neck is cold, right, when you turn your back at somebody. And he says this is the difference between Hashem speaking through Moshe's throat, the divine presence speaks through Moshe's throat, and the same sources state in the arrow in 17 that Moshe's arch enemy, Paro, is represented by the back of the neck. He is the one who strives for the opposite of that which Moshe Rabbeinu wishes to achieve. Paro's goal is to keep the divine voice out of the world, to silence the voice so spiritual. Moshe Rabbeinu's task is to achieve connection, right? He's the one who brings down the Torah from Shemayim, the ultimate connection of spiritual and physical world. Paro's work is to separate those worlds, arch enemies indeed. And the letters of Paro, when reversed, spelled Ha'oref, the back of the neck. So what we are dealing with here, we are dealing with the speech was in Golos, that Paro tried to silence us, it's Ha'oref, the back of the neck. And the whole idea of the redemption is redemption of speech, of being able to talk. And that's why, continuing in 18, Balmor Bashemesh, that's why we call the holiday Pesach and Nachag HaMatzos, because the Ikar of the Geula is the ability of Pesach, as the Arizal says. The Peh is able to Sach. Samech and Sin are interchangeable. The Peh that's able to speak. Sicha. The Peh that's able to open its mouth. And that's why the Sfarim speak about the night of Seder is so connected to speech. The more you speak, the better off you are. And it's questions and answers. And you, inspire questions of the people around you. It's all about speech, because speech was redeemed. And that's why the mitzvah of the night is v'igadat l'vincha, to teach your children. The whole idea of a Haggadah is to tell over. Because the whole idea of the night is to be able to celebrate how we were able to be redeemed through this quality of speech. This, in fact, my friends, is hinted at when Klal Yisrael, beginning of Parshat B'Shalach, leave Egypt. It says that Hashem told them to turn back, and they turned back to Pi HaChirot, which is between Migdol and the sea, before Baal Zephon. And Paro will say, oh, they're confined in the land, the wilderness has locked them in, they're lost, we can go run after them. What's the idea of Pi HaChirot? So Rashi tells us Pi HaChirot is the same place as Pitom, or Pitom and Ramses. They went back to the direction of Egypt. So the Mizrahi points out, Maral points out, that the original name Pitom is a contraction of Pe Satum, a closed mouth. Pi HaChirot is a mouth of freedom. And that is really the description of the process that Klal Yisrael went through. They lived in Pitom. They lived in a place of Pes Satum. They built Pitom and Ramses. The whole Avoda was in this closed mouth. And now, when they leave, they enter into the arena of Pi Achirot, the mouth of freedom. And this, my friends, if we take this one step deeper, this is the whole lesson that Kadosh Baruch Hu is trying to teach Klal Yisrael as they are moving into Pi HaChirot, into the mouth of freedom. And to teach Klal Yisrael, you want to know what freedom is? Freedom is relationship by talking to me. Freedom is being able to turn to me. Freedom is the freedom of the mouth. And that's why it's not by accident that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to be, felt like they were closed in the desert. As the Chochmah Samatzpun, quoting the Chochmah Musa Rabbi Yerucham, points out, where he said, the Paro he creeds, and Paro came closer, what did Klal Yisrael then do? Vaitzaku b'nei Yisrael Hashem, they cried out to Hashem. And says the Sfarim, that Hashem said, you know, I loved hearing your voice in Mitzrayim. And now that I took you out, I haven't heard your voice. So what do I want you to do? I want to hear it again. I'm having power run after you. I'm having the sea on one side, the midbar on the other side. I'm locking you in. Why? Hayiti mevakesh lishmo kochem hashmieni ekoch lech. Let me hear your voice. And he says, that's why. When we take a look at the Yetziyah Mitzrayim and we think that the Neis Kriyas Yamsu was to show Hashem's greatness, that He could split the sea, we have it all wrong. Why does Hashem do all these miracles? Because Hashem wants our tefillahs. The purpose of the miracles, Bikesh Lishmo Kolam. The Neis, the miracle, is secondary to the goal. The goal of Kriyas Yamsuf was for Klal Yisrael to call out to Hashem. Okay, once we've reached that goal, so now we can have a miracle called Kriyas Yamsuf. But the whole essence of what Hashem wants from us is one thing. He says, I took you out, you davened, and you got out. But don't think that now that you davened, you're finished, Ganut, that's it. No, I want to hear your voice, Hashmini Ekolech. And the whole reason that you have these challenges that are coming to you is in order to daven to me. That's the idea. It's not that, you know, I'm daven and the situation will go away. I'm giving you the situation in order to connect. The whole idea of what Hashem wants from us, Hashmieni Ekolech, Ki Kolech Arev, that our voice is so beautiful to Hashem. And that's what Rabbi Nissel points out in Rik Shelev in his introduction. He says in 23, we can now understand the real reason why man finds himself in a perpetual state of inadequacy. Hashem engineers the world to provide man with a constant opportunity to develop a relationship with Him. All the complexities of life are excuses to experience the pleasure of closeness to Hashem. All our challenges, problems, and torments are roads that lead to prayer. Although it seems totally counterintuitive, all our problems are in fact nothing more than a means to have a relationship with Hashem. Every challenge, pain, and moment of suffering from the anguish of other Rishon when he opened his eyes for the very first time to the agony of the birth pangs of the Messianic era. They all exist so that man can connect to Hashem. The act of prayer is not a solution to man's inadequacy. Rather, man's inadequacy is an opportunity for prayer. Our challenge at 24 is to internalize this crucial point. When life seems to be good, we sometimes see prayer as a chore, part of our daily ritual. When we squeeze in between brushing our teeth and breakfast. When life seems to be bad, we rush to our sitters to solve our problems. In fact, all the events of life are just roads to prayer. When the road is smooth, Hashem is challenging us to acknowledge that we can take nothing for granted and we are totally dependent on Him. And when the road is rocky, He is giving us the opportunity for extra intensity in prayer to achieve an even higher level of closeness to Him. My friends, this is the whole essence of what the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim is about. The challenges, the suffering is all a medium of connection. And our job is to be able to connect at all times. At the moment we were redeemed, piachirot, our mouths are redeemed. And right afterwards we have this conflict of being locked into the desert. Hashem is saying, use this mouth of redemption for the purpose of connecting with me, for the purpose of finding me. So now I understand, back to our original question, my friends, why are they only davening now? Why didn't they daven beforehand? So answer one, we serve Reb Sadok, Hashem inspires us at the time of Yeshua. Answer number two is because their mouths were closed. They couldn't daven. There was a pesatum. It was ha'oref. It was the back of the neck. Egypt was a place that didn't allow for tefillah. So they weren't able to daven. That's why they didn't daven until now. Which then begs the question, well then what happened now that they are able to daven? If their mouths were closed and they weren't able to daven, what precipitated tefillah now that began the ball rolling? So here, my friends, we have a very interesting answer that's found in the pasuk that the Haggadah brings. What's the proof text that the Jewish people daven? So the proof text is 26, Vayamat Melech Mitzrayim, right? In those days when the king of Egypt died, then Vayinachu ben Israel. What was the event that created this change? It was the event of the Paro died, right? It's machlokim, whether he actually died or got sarat. But something happened to the Pharaoh, and that started the ball rolling. So what is this? What was this change? So Biderech Pashtus, just to share two answers before we develop a much deeper answer, which is very relevant for our lives. The Tith HaGadah of Gamliel brings down what's the connection between Melech Yitzrayim dying and our davening. That the Egyptians didn't let Klai Yisrael daven, and they didn't let us cry out to Hashem. But when the Melech Yitzrayim died, and everyone in the country was crying, so Klai Yisrael used that opportunity to cry to Hashem that Hashem should have mercy on them. So why didn't we daven beforehand? We weren't able to. They didn't allow us to. This was part of the edict. So what do? When everyone's crying, we join in on their crying. They think we're crying that the king of Egypt died, but we know that we're crying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you see here how gevaldik it is that the Egyptians knew the Kavach HaTefillah. They didn't let us daven because they knew a Jew davens oy vavoy. And that should be such a lesson for us, to be able for us to appreciate our Kavach HaTefillah. You know, and they tell stories about this. In the Shavuot Olenu, where they were so careful that the Jews shouldn't be muttering Tehillim, or they shouldn't be muttering any, you know, tefillah or any learning. So there are stories of, you know, people saying, ay, 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 which sounds like groaning, ay, ay, and that's how the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, understood it. But they had in mind, ay is Rosh Tevo of the mitzvahs you have to remember at all times, that Hashem Baruch Hu exists, Abba Hashem, Yiras Hashem, Yichud Hashem, different aspects. The ay, 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 Aleph Yud, for them was about, you know, the six kinds of mitzvahs of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ain't no, there's none other. And the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, think that they're groaning, right? That's the model from Egypt. You're not allowed to daven, so you take an opportunity that you have, which they think is for X, and you circumvent it for Y. The second answer, Mayan HaMoed, brings down in 26, is that, and this is benoach shiva olam, when a person's in a difficult situation, they think, okay, now it's difficult, but when we have a new leader, when a new situation, things will be better. And then when this king died and a new king came on who wasn't any better, they said, oh my gosh, here we thought we could wait and have a reprieve, and when no reprieve came, so we realized things aren't better, we can only turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As he said so nicely, he said, it's like a person who has problems. So what do? They turn to the right side, they turn to their left side, the right side, their left side. They only have two sides. You know, you're turning, twisting and turning. They reach the point, they have no other side to turn to. You turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please save me, help me. So that explains why are they only davening now with the death of the king? And the answer is because now they're utilizing this time of public crying for Hashem. And B, they realize now things aren't getting better with the new king. We have no other recourse. Another approach, which is a very fascinating approach, which is a very, very deep approach, is an approach that Rav David Hofstetter brings based on the Chidah and the Chasam Sofer. Rabbi Tursky brings this approach in English in Source 27. On the pasuk of Vayareu Otanu HaMitzri, which literally the word Ra, the Egyptians did evil to us. But the phrase Vayareu, which is generally translated as they, the Egyptians, did evil to us, can be also translated as a conjugation of the word Rea, friend. And the phrase would then read, they befriended us. In other words, prior to the period of the manifest enmity, the Egyptian behaved toward the Israelites in a superficially friendly manner, concealing their terrible designs behind a facade of brotherhood. And that's what the Medrash speaks about, that they all went out to work together, and then slowly but surely everyone drops out, and the Jews are left in this avodah perach, perach, perach. The mouth that is sweet at the beginning, join the national campaign, and then they're stuck, they're left as slaves. But Rav David Hofstetter, Drash David, takes this idea in a very, very deep way. He says, at the first step, when the Egyptian became friendly with us and close to us, the Jewish people entered a relationship with them that they felt a connection to them. And they felt a connection to them and to their culture, and that's how they were able to enter into the Memtet Shari Tumah. So that even when the Shivut happened, this is such a deep psychological insight, even when the slavery happened, they didn't want the hard work, but they never complained about the slavery because they felt a certain connection with their slave masters. They were their friends originally. So even though they turned on them, that emotional connection was still there. And that's why they never davened, because they never felt like there was a need to daven. Yeah, so they asked that the hard load be taken off, but they didn't feel like they needed to get out of there, because to a certain degree they became so enmeshed in the Egyptian culture and with these Egyptian taskmasters. And that's why they remained in almost like this frozen state. The Lekach Valibov, who takes the same line of thinking, says the following. He says, that's the idea in the end of 32, She'ein Eved Yachol Livroch Mitzrayim. No slave ever ran out of Egypt. What does this mean? It means, he says, She'ein Eved Yachol Livroch Mitzrayim, She'ein Noach Lo Liot Sham Eved Liot Sar Be'eretz Acheret. They felt like it was a privilege to be an Eved in that land. They didn't realize that there was something wrong with being an Eved. Yeah, the hard work they didn't get into. I grant you that. But the avdos is like, well, what a privilege to be able to work for such a great culture. They bought into this so much that they couldn't separate themselves from what was going on. And to a certain degree, it was like they were born into this, you know, the caste system. They'll die into this. And this is who they are. And this is what the Chiddush Arim says in 34a, on the first one of the for Lashona Sagaula, Votseiti etchem mitachat sivlos Mitzrayim, and I will take you out from under the sivlos, literally means the sevel, the oppression of Egypt. that I'm going to take you out, Shekhar Shberchu Yotzi Otam Mizeh, Sheng Sovlim and Mitzrayim, that they tolerate Egypt. Because this is the beginning of the Geula, Lat Satan, Amatzav Shemar Gishim, Kitov Ladam, Mashu Meshubar. They had to be taken out of this mindset that it was okay to be a slave. They had to be taken out of this mindset that no, it is not okay to be a slave. And the first time, says Alekha Chalibov in 35-34b, that they were able to step out. And that's what often happens. You know, when we're in a situation, we're in it, we don't see the whole picture. When we step out, suddenly we say, oh my gosh, what's going on here? When the Melech Mitzrayim died, and there was like, you know, a national funeral, and everything came to a halt for those, you know, week or so of the funeral services, whatever it was, suddenly the Jews were able to say, whoa, this isn't normal. This isn't the way it should be. And then they were able to cry out, Min HaVolta, from the work itself. And they realized that not they didn't cry out from the inui, from the oppression, but they cried out from the avolta. As the Drash Tavi notes, the avolta is the service itself that they realize, no, what they're going through is not normal. And once they were able to step out of the situation and say, this isn't normal to be a slave here. I don't need to tolerate this. Then their tefillahs were heartfelt tefillahs, and then they were on the path of redemption. Yes, their mouths were closed. What opened their mouths? One was the dying of Paros. How so? It allowed us to cry with them. Two, we still know the recourse. Three, it allowed us to step back and realize that we were duped, that the perach worked, and that this whole system doesn't make sense, and they're befriending us and friendship and we're all one happy family wasn't true. And then we were able to step back and get a real grip on what was going on, and then our tefillos were able to go up to Hashem. On this, says the Lekha Chalibuv, my friends, this is one of the most important ideas for today's shiur. In 35, says Rav Shor, Inyan zeh nohe gam begalut hamar hazeh. This idea of being so enmeshed in galus that we don't even realize that we're in slavery or in exile is very present today. Mishubadim anu, we are enslaved to kesef, to money, vila avoda, and to our work, v'lishari yenei olam hazeh, to other aspects of this world. I would add technology, right? People can't go without their little machines and texting and wherever they are. Everyone's their face down. We're mishubad, right? We always have to check our mail. We're mishubad to our, you know, how many of us can really say, I'm not doing that during the business hours when you're on your computer. I'm saying it, you're at home. How many of us can say, I'm going to spend from 10 to 10:15 at night checking my mail and that's it. Whatever it is, to set a time. Ve'ein margishim klal ad kama anu nasim shkuim b'toch ha'galus hazeh. And we don't know how entrenched we are. These kids who are texting on Shabbos, who are maybe it's not called addiction, but are very much shkuim. They are meshed, they're entrenched. Ein anu makirim sheben mer anachnu avadim. The problem is we don't realize that we, you and I, are slaves. But kama shibud azneh sholeid al kol ha'chaim shelanu. That it takes over our whole lives. It takes over our relationship with our family, with our friends, with others around us. As I mentioned before, a student said to me, after 6 months of marriage, she put away, at that time, was her BlackBerry. She said her marriage changed dramatically. She was able to focus on her husband. It was amazing. The effects that it has. Anachnu sferim sheyatzanu mikol yisurei hagalos. We think, you know, we're free. Anachnu b'nei chorim. V'lu maisanu begalos mar. But in reality, we are enslaved. Meshuba l'gashmif l'odov achar sarche olam. Running after the pleasures of this world. And that's why Chayav Adam lirot et atzmo is a chiyuv that for first and foremost that we have to realize that we are enslaved. We are in Egypt. That we have to get out of Egypt. That if we don't realize that we're in Egypt, then there's going to be no reason to get out of it. When we speak about Chayavat Amortas Rokilu, who Yatam Mitzrayim, we see ourselves as if we left Egypt. First and foremost, recognize that we are in Egypt, that we are in the Mitzrayim, the Meitzarim, the narrow straits, that our lives are so much driven by these aspects of the physicality and are running after them. And only when we realize that we are in Egypt are we able to get out of Egypt. And this is a challenge that we have. This is the challenge of being able to realize that we have to learn their lesson. It was only when they were able to step out, were they able to say, what was I thinking? And then their tefillah to Hashem came from a place of realization that the only place I need to turn to, the only focus I need to have is Ribono Shel Olam. And that's how we as the Bi'am Derech, in a very long essay, and I just took the summary in 37, says, we have to daven b'shat revacha. We have to daven when things are going good. We have to use that in order to be able to have the ability to daven during hard times. And to be able to realize that even when everything's seems to be forlorn, if we daven when things are going well, we'll be able to have that ability to believe in that tefillah, even in the most difficult situations imaginable. But you have to believe in tefillah, and you have to be able to turn to Ribono Shel Olam, and we have to be able to do that not only be'ei psara at a difficult time, we have to do that at all times. And to realize to where we're holding in life and what we are so dependent on, and be able to shift our dependency to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that, in 36, Laila Kayom Ya'ir points out, is the godless of Yitziat Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, as described in Sefer Dvarim, is a place where it was like a gan. It was like Gan Hayara. It was irrigated by the Nile. You didn't have any rain coming down from heaven. You had everything where you needed. And this is what Egypt represents. You know, rain represents connection to God. You don't need any connection to God. You're in a place where you have all your needs taken care of. And in a place you have all your needs taken care of, why do you need to turn to God? That's why Mitzrayim was a place that was antithesis of religion, of turning to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It was, we are self-sufficient. We need to move out of Mitzrayim. We need to move out of the self-sufficient mindset, and at all times to be able to daven to Hashem. So my friends, this was the most complicated of the four. Where do we see tefillah? This is the catalyst that allowed Klai Yisrael to leave Egypt. It took the event of the death of Paro to leave, to daven. And recognizing that we have to learn from this experience, let's not wait for an eighth sarah to happen, to daven in all times, but to realize that when we don't daven, Hashem does create these eight sarahs. He creates that we're locked in from all sides, and, you know, Egypt running after us, and the Yam in front of us, and the Midbar, both sides, a description of our lives, of whatever difficult situation we're encountering. And Hashem says, I'm doing this because I want you to cry out. I want you to realize that you can't live in Egypt your whole life. You have to get out of Egypt. Egypt is about self-sufficiency. Egypt is about kofi biltzum yodi. Egypt is about I can do it myself. You got to leave Egypt, and you have to be able to connect to Hashem. Where else do we see the idea of tefillah as this thread in our tapestry? So the Matan Chaim points out, you see this by the removal of the makos. After each of the makos, we see by Sfardea, for example, by Yom Moshe Leparo in 38, when should I daven for you? Tell me exactly when you want me to daven, and I'll daven. So you see that the way to remove the makos was through tefillah, as the Chumash says, Ki Inka Hashem Elokeinu, that there's none other like a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem, you cry out, and He responds. And that's one of the messages, one of the themes of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, through the makos, is that how were the makos removed? Through Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah, sometimes in the city, sometimes out of the city. You tell me when to daven, and I'll daven. So you see that it wasn't only the tefillah of Klal Yisrael, of getting out of the avodah, the shibud. It's Moshe Rabbeinu himself teaching us the koach tefillah to remove the plagues. You also see a beautiful idea about tefillah. In Pasuk in Tehillim, in Perek Pei Aleph, Tzukim Zayin Nechet, the Aaron 40, Matan Chaim continues, Hasiroti misevel shichmo kapav midut tavorna, But Tzarat Karata, you cooled down in your troubles, V'achaltcha, and I redeemed you, I release you, and Achab is said to Ram, and I will respond to you in a great thunder, Evnechecha Omei Merivat Sela, and here you cried out privately, and Hashem will answer you publicly. And then it says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Hamalcha Meretz Yisrael. I am the one, we say Shir Shalom on Thursday, we say it after Hodu, the end of Hodu. I am the God, Hamalcha Meretz Yisrael, who has taken you out of Egypt. Harchei Ficha Vamalehu. Open your mouth wide. As Rashi says, to ask for whatever you want, in particular, says Manar Chaim, in Inyane Ruchnias, in spiritual matters, Va'amaleu, and I will fill you whatever you ask for. You want to know what the upshot of the Egyptian story is? It's this pasuk. I am the God who took you out of Egypt. I am the God who has a personal relationship with you. And how is this personal relationship manifested? Throughout all time. It's manifested in Harchei Picha V'Amaleu. I want you to know I'm right here. Open your mouth. Ask. Ask. Open your mouth wide. Ask. V'Amaleu. And I will be able to fill it. And this is the goal of the night. Matchilim b'gnut v'sayimim b'shevach. We begin with negativity and we end with the shevach. V'achshav kerbanu hamakom lo l'avodato. That Hashem brought us close to His avoda. That's the goal. The end of Dayenu, building the base of Bechira, the place of connection to Hashem. The goal of Yitzhiyah Mitzrayim, the Dayenu, is the base of Bechira, the place of Tefillah, the place of connection to Ribbono Shel Olam. So on the second and third aspects of where do you see Tefillah as the thread, if the first aspect is that was got us out of Egypt, the second is that is what removed the Makos, it had played a major role, and three, we see that Hashem makes His promise, connected to the fact that He took us out of Egypt, that we daven and we ask, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will, and again, there's a Kodesh Baruch Hu's time framework is not the same as our time framework, but particularly in Ruchnias, you just have to ask, 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 and in Ruchnias, in spirituality, the answer is never no, it's just a question of when. The final piece of where you see that Tefillah plays a role, it's not a very well-known piece, the Manar Chaim brings down, is that we know that you can't have a hefsek, you can't have an interruption between Geula l'Tefillah, between Gal Yisrael and Hashem Sfas HaTiftach. There has to be no interruption. Go straight in. So the question is asked, well, in Ma'ariv, you have Hashkivenu. And isn't Hashkivenu that bracha a hefsek? So Rabbeinu Yonah says no. Why? Mipnei, I'm in the bracket in 42, Shashkivenu me'en ha'gu'ulahi. Hashkivenu is part of the redemption. Why? Shibisha'ah, Shavar Hashem Lingofa Mitzrayim, says Rabbeinu Yonah, when Hashem went to Passover, the Egyptians, Hayum Fachadim, the Jews, were afraid. Umitpalim Labori, Lakayim Dvaro. And the Jewish people were davening the entire night that Hashem should keep His word and not allow the Mashri to come in front of Him, on them. Because a tzaddik is always worried that maybe their sins will create, something that's going to go wrong. And that's the idea of Hashkivenu, that Hashkivenu Shiatzilenu Hashem Mikol Davar, that the Hashkivenu is the model, it's modeled on the prayer of the Geula, the prayer of redemption. That's why it's not a hefsek, it's not an interruption of the Jewish people who sat the entire night of Lel Yitziyah Mitzrayim, davening that Hashem should protect them, davening that they are worthy of being on this level, that Hashem will keep His word and keep them safe. And that's why he explains in 43 a very interesting insight of why it is that the firstborns fast on Tanis Bechorim on Erev Pesach. They should have a party. They were saved. And it brings down the idea of the based on this Rabbeinu Yonah, that they probably were fasting that day because they realized, who am I to be saved? And just like they fasted, like, you know, the Megillah Esther, the war, they fasted. Just like they fasted because they're saying, my gosh, our lives are on the line, really. So too the Bechorim as well fast. The night of Pesach gives us a whole different vantage point according to this. We think, you know, or imagery we have is the Jewish people are sitting with the blood on the doorpost, with the roasted lamb, with the, you know, with the staff in their hands, their shoes on their feet, and they're, you know, sitting back, ready to leave. They're not sitting back. There's a Tehillim in their hand. Okay, David HaMelech wasn't there. It's around yet. That's irrelevant. I mean, it's technical. Not irrelevant, it's technical. They're davening. They're davening the entire night that they should be saved. And if that night of Yetziat Mitzrayim was a night of tefillah for Klal Yisrael, so too, my friends, it's a night of tefillah for us as well. The Chai Adam 44, Hevi Od V'Shem Hagol, Ki B'Chlalut Lel HaSeder, we make either 19, if you say, that according to some you say, an Al Tiyat Yadayim and Urchat, or 18 brachos on the night of Seder. And if you start counting them up, you have the bracha of Kiddush and the bracha of the Hadam on the Karpas and the Shechianu and the Haggadah and the Bari Pirat Gafin, the Motzi, the Marer, the four brachas of Birkas HaMazon, the Yain after Birkas HaMazon, another Yain, the bracha Chrona. You add them up. There are 18 brachas the night, or 19 brachas the night of Seder. Wow. Because why? So he says, Hare Shekila Roga Ontchutei Aleinu Ki Mahud 45 HaSeder Hu Seder HaTefila Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Seder is a Seder HaTefila. A person sits on the night of Pesach by his Shulchan and Umavadato you'll say Tefila Kutcha Brichu. Like Shemoneh Esrei is 18 brachos, we say 18 brachos. It's Tefila Tirchet, Tefila Amita. And now we can understand why we have to be so nisar, not to be mesiach dat, not to have our minds wander, not to speak in yonim of chol, because we're in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Like, who will speak in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei? Of course no one will. You know, something you don't need. We're in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, the entire night of Seder. We have to sit there, be'ema be'yira, with this understanding of we're in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why it's called Seder, the night of thing, because tefillah, he steer yurchet brachot. It's cool. He made the Seder. He organized it in 18 brachos, Shimon HaPkuli. And that's our Seder of tefillah. 46, Belel Pesach, Yishkoach tefillah atzum. Kedita B'Tzvar HaKadoshim. The Lech of Akhlibov goes on and says, the night of Pesach, Rav Shor says, is a tremendous night of tefillah. Tefillah Shem HaMasach HaMavdil Makva. There's nothing blocking our tefillah. Alel Pesach, all our bakashos go up mitel Seder HaLayla. They have like this, you know, trampoline effect. They go up from the experience of the Seder. And that's our avoda now, to prepare ourselves for this intense experience of Avei HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo at our Seder, right? B'pamalya shamala at our Seder. And we have the ability to just allow our tefillos to go up to Shemayim. The night is a night of tefillah. When in particular does one daven at this night? Doesn't it seem to be a night about Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim? So I'd like to suggest, bring down, what Ramaizlich bring down in Sichos Bavrat Hashem, a number of suggestions of places. One, he says in 47, the time that we eat matzah is a matzah mitzvah, is mam sugomo l'chavin of l'kesh b'kardesh baruch, whatever's missing. Because the kedusha of the eating of the matzah is, we have the ability to respond to our tefillos. And that's why Chazal call it lechem oni. Literally, the bread, we call it the bread of affliction, but the bread of response, that Hashem responds to our tefillos. And whenever tefillos have not been able to go up during the year, are able to go up and take with them all the tefillos of the year after eating matzah. It's a gewaltic time to daven. Anytime you do a mitzvah, it's a gewaltic time to daven, but particularly right by the all the kazesi, by the Ethelkelman Ursa. Matzah is Moshon Lechamoni. Hashem responds to our tefillah. Gevaldik time. After eating the matzah, wait a couple of minutes. Daven. Talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in fact, he notes in 47 continuing, that's called Pesach. That it's a night of our mouth speaks. And it's a night that we should ask for everything. Don't hold anything back. And Ruchnius, any gash, shemias. Where else can you daven? So he says, by Manishana, you have in the Haggadahs, Kan HaBen Shoel, here the son asks, duh, every little kid knows, here the Ben asks, we are the Banim, the Beit Aaron brings down, She'ela and Bakasha, here we, the Ben Yisrael asks from Avinu Shemayim, what we want. So by right before Manishtana, Kana Ben Shoel, you and I, we're the bunny. We ask, we make up a kashuf to Hashem. The Bracha Gal Yisrael, the after Rav said, one of them with a Shalema, when he says Gal Yisrael, the second time in 48, that Hashem is going to help him. Nimuf Matiach Lo Shioshia B'Yeshua, Gal Yisrael, Hashem redeems us, when we'll be redeemed. Three dots in 48. I love this one. When we come to Shana of the Day, Elisha, the child doesn't know how to ask. Apatachlo, you open it up for him. Says Rav Moshe Miklofer, this is our request to Hashem, that He should open up our hearts that are so closed that we don't even know what to ask for. And we say, Hashem, help me be able to serve you with a full heart. These are some places where you can just pour out your desires to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And probably the most major tefillah we should have, which is the theme of the night, 49, Mihu Ikar Tefillah V'Bakasha V'Lel Zed Tzarich Liyor Al Arichus HaGalus. That we're still in Galus and all the sorrows that are happening. By Manishtana, you should be crying, why is this night different? Why are we still here in this Galus? Shvo Chamatcha L'Goyim is a Gevaldic time. Where is Eliyahu HaNavi? Karev Yom Asher Hulo Yom Velo Laila Shomim Hafke Le'ircha Kol Yom Kol Laila Hashem, watch over us. Bring the Mashiach, when we talk about Adiru Yivne Beisa Bekaro, that we should mamish have the Binyan Beisa Bechira. These are all places when we refer to the Geula, when we refer to the redemption. These are all places to daven to Hashem, that we should indeed be able to actualize this and be able to feel this redemption. So my friends, not only do we see this thread of tefillah in terms of that's what enabled Klal Yisrael to leave, that had such an effect on the makos, on the plagues, it's a model of our asking until today, but it was also what Klal Yisrael did the night of Seder. And maybe not again the focus, it's not in the main picture, right? The main picture is the Korban Pesach, is the Tzliyesh, those are the main picture. But in the background scene, there's that Tehillim. There's that crying out to Hashem. And that has to be the background scene as well. Yes, we are telling the story and we're trying to make the story alive, how we left Egypt, etc., etc. But we, like Klal Yisrael in Egypt, need to have this as a focus of the night. That it's about the 18 brachos. It's about tefillah. It's a Seder HaTefillah. And this is a gevaldic opportunity when Hashem is so close to us, to be able to, at the time of Matzah, to be able different times of our Seder Haggadah, just to turn to Hashem and say, Apetachlo, Hashem, open my mouth, help me to know what to daven for. Gal Yisrael, redeem. How much longer? Yivne Beiso Bekaro, to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. And Mirtz Hashem in the Schus of recognizing the Koach HaTefillah all year and being able to actualize and tap into the Koach HaTefillah on the night of Seder, our tefillahs will be answered, L'tova, and indeed we'll be able to say L'shana Abab Yushalayim HaBnuya, and will be a reality in our days.